Do men compare their new girl's body to their ex's body?
No.
No.
Everyone is different. And I think that most guys enjoy different. I've never done that.
So it's like, if you want to be with someone new, whether it's just sex or dating, you're like, they're hot. I'm into them. You're not at all like, oh, they're not as hot as my ex. That doesn't even cross your mind.
No.
It's just like, if they think you're hot, they think you're hot.
I think most men are just happy to be there.
Yeah. You know? Right. But it is so hard when you date someone and then you see what their ex looks like.
Ooh,
to
I've been there.
Inferior.
I've been there. I'm like, he's how tall?
Yeah, men do it with height more, I'd say.
Yeah. I'm like, he can grow a full beard?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, cool.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Shooters Gotta Shoot. I am your host, Eric Aspira. And this week, we have Andrew Lacote on the podcast. And let me tell you something. This is clearly a very hot TikTok man. Okay? Clearly. All right? Those of you that are tuning in for the very first time to the show, first of all, welcome. Second, I know exactly why you're here. Okay? You've been stalking his videos. You think he's more beautiful than I don't know who to even to say. So first of all, welcome. Appreciate you listening. But second of all, let me say this, okay? Good looking man, funny videos, right? TikTok star. I was very pleasantly surprised to essentially hear how insightful he is. Like, he truly is very thoughtful and kind and, I don't know, unassuming. Just, wow. I'm on the train. I'm also in love. So anyway, yeah, you listen to this, you'll probably just fall in love with him more. So I'm sure you've seen all his videos. He's so, so funny, but definitely follow him on social media if you're not. It's nice. I don't know. Now this sounds creepy as hell. Well, all right. Look, if you're enjoying the show, a few ways you could help us out, okay? First of all, subscribe to our YouTube, all right? This man's beautiful. Go over there and watch it over there. Go look at how handsome he is. And he's got nice tattoos. Go to our YouTube page. The link is in the description, okay? Or just search Shooters Gotta Shoot podcast. You will find us on there, all right? Subscribe. It's easy. It's free. It's a way to support the show. You also could leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify Podcasts. Or, I don't know, just tell your friend. Be like, yo, you should listen to this hot TikTok star on this pod. It was really dope. And the other thing you can do is you can join the Patreon, all right? Which is $5 a month. Patreon.com/shootersgottashoot. We are almost at our goal of 300 people. And when we do that, we're going to have a live streaming show with guests of your choosing. Okay? You're going to get to ask them questions, all right? So you want Andrew to come on, join the Patreon, all right? Patreon.com/shootersgottashoot. And there is a Patreon preview at the end of the episode. All right, so you're going to get a little taste, see what's going on over there, get all the hot goss behind the scenes, whatever we're talking, and join in. All right? So without further ado, enjoy our episode with Andrew Lacote. Ahora yo no quiero, no, tranqui, yo perreo sola. You might have seen him on TikTok. You might be jealous of his apartment as much as I am, or his style. Everybody, please put your hands together for the great Andrew Lacote.
Hello. How's it going?
Good. Well, thank you for coming on.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
And I love that you went full. This is just fully how you always dress.
Yeah.
It's like every accessory, no matter the heat. We got the hat. We got the whole aesthetic here.
You gotta assemble
in the room. Yeah. I'm very, very impressed with your style, personally. Can I say that?
I appreciate it. I really appreciate it.
I feel like a lot of men don't have a style, per se.
See, I always feel like my style is very boring. One, because living in New York City, you see so many different types of like eclectic style. And somebody once described my style as Taco Bell style.
What?
They're like, basically, it's the same four ingredients rearranged 10 different ways. And I was like, that's pretty spot on.
Wow.
It's the laziest way to dress, but it's pretty effective.
I was really impressed. Because one of the questions that actually came up for you today, I feel like we should just get into it right now, is I thought of, like, if I was to date someone that had style like you, I would suddenly feel pressure to, like, have a style.
Interesting.
Like, different from you, but, like I would feel like, oh, guys like that, they want someone that has a hard style, too.
Oh, interesting.
Like, does that at all matter to you when you are attracted to someone? Or are you like, oh, they got style?
I think maybe subconsciously it's attractive to me. But by no means is it like a make or break, like if you have a certain style or not. And definitely not, it doesn't have to be the same style. Mm. I will say someone who does dress, you know, in a very specific way or has like a very specific style, that's intriguing to me.
Yeah.
It tells me like a little bit about them, a little bit about their creativity or how they like to express themselves. So I think probably on a certain level it does. But I've dated girls in the past that I didn't think dressed that well.
You know, like I dated some people that had terrible tics.
You know, I would never I would never say that, but it's not, you know, super. I'm sure, you know, people I've dated think that I don't dress well. I mean, it's not everyone's taste.
Okay. Because I would guess someone dating you would then maybe start to mirror your style in a way. So I was curious if that has ever happened to you.
Looking back, it has.
Mm.
You know, kind of like when you step back and look at certain things, you're like, oh, I see that. Even post-relationship, you're like, oh, I see you've kind of like adopted, you know, this sort of color palette or this. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I've done the same thing. It's mm-hmm. like, and that goes with like pulling positives that you learn from other people, you know, and sometimes you subconsciously bring it into your own. And so I definitely think that happens with style and clothing for sure.
It's funny just because a lot of women, when they date men, they start to change the man's style.
Sure.
Just indirectly by just buying them clothes, because a lot of guys just don't care.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, buy me the shirt you think I look good in and I'll wear it, right?
Ooh, I can't do that.
But I have seen the opposite happen, and I've done the same too, of not with dating someone. Actually, was the college I went to was super preppy, and I never dressed preppy. And all of a sudden, I came home at Christmas and was like, can I have a Patagonia fleece? And my mom was like, what's Patagonia? I'm like, I don't know, but everybody wears like, it.
I don't know, but something's happening out there that I didn't know about.
Yeah, and I had no idea like how expensive they were. And we looked it up and I was like, whoa, for
you're
a fleece?
Like, how? Yeah.
But it was just so funny. And then my uncle, who works in like outdoor clothing, he was like, that's a super like outdoor hiking brand. Like, I've never heard Erica talk about it. And I just was like, I don't know. Everybody at school has them. I want to wear them. And so then my own style just changed to more preppy while I was at school.
Yeah.
And then I moved to New York and I never wore those preppy clothes anymore.
I think that's the best thing about living here is that there's no one specific style. Like my friend, I just had a friend in from LA and we were walking around and he was like, the fashion here is crazy. He was like, it's like just like a random bucket. He's like, whereas in LA, you know, you kind of see like the same 4, 5, 6 different types of guys. He's like, but here everyone kind of just does whatever they feel comfortable in, it seems. I was like, yeah, it keeps you from getting like, you know, feeling like you need to buy that Patagonia jacket. You
right.
can just buy, you know, whatever you want, you know, and there's so much more to be inspired by here too.
True.
So
also fun fact, New York is the one city that you never look like you're doing a walk of shame in the morning.
No.
Like, no. I've had that where I was like, I think it was in Brooklyn, someone I was dating, and I was in like a going out outfit at night, which is never something I'll wear during the day, right?
Sure.
And I remember we're going on the train Saturday morning, and I was like, can I borrow some clothes? And he was like, it's Brooklyn.
Yeah.
He's like, no one's going to think you wore that last night. They're going to think that's what you wear just out for the day. And I was like, really? And we got on the L train, and I was like, 1000% correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You no matter what you wear here, you always land in the middle somewhere because there's always a much higher extreme and there's always a much lower low. So you're like, hey.
Yeah, which is true for walk of shame and also just self-esteem.
In general.
Where you're like, oh my God, we once did this resource on here that was advice about dressing and it was like, you should dress like you're a character in something, right? The main character energy. And we tried to do for a week always doing that when we left our house, me and my old co-host. But every time I did it, I'd walk into wherever restaurant I was going or train, and there'd always be women looking hotter than me that I was like, I mean, it's like, why try? You know? Like, why am I even trying?
Yeah, it's I usually go for my biggest fear is standing out. It's like, so that's why the neutral colors.
Funny.
The neutral colors were never because I liked neutral colors. It's because that's where I felt most comfortable, is because I can just blend in and I can, you know, escape by without being seen.
It's,
you know?
It's funny you say that, and then you blew up on TikTok wearing these neutral colors.
Yeah.
So I have to ask, since becoming essentially TikTok famous.
Famous is a strong word.
All right. Well, to the low follower accounts such as people as me, how would you say your dating life has changed?
A lot. It's easier and it's harder. Mm. It's a lot easier in the beginning. Frankly, just because for lack of a better term, you're seen by more people, right?
So you got more DMs.
We don't have to pretend here
that there's no DMs happening.
So yeah,
I got DMs off posting you. Like that's crazy. I got secondhand DM power just from being like, Andrew's coming on the pod. People are like, oh my God, here's my question. Will he marry me?
my friends will send. So I have a few different like creator friends, and every like if we hang out and they post, they're like, they'll text me. They're like, God damn it. Like, why are your followers coming to my page? Like, they're like, I know nothing, you know, I can't tell you anything about him, you know?
Yeah. I can't tell we're recording this. What the location? Women would show up. So it's easier when there's more people that see
it's,
you.
It's easier in the sense that there's more people. And also, I think that one of the biggest things that has come of all of this is I think it's given me like it's allowed me to be a bit more comfortable with myself than I used to be. Mm. A little bit more confidence, a little bit more at ease with myself in dating situations. And so that was always the hard part for me, was when I first meet someone, you know, it's like, are they gonna like me? Are they gonna like that I'm this way? Are they gonna? And so like, I always found myself trying to like tailor myself to what they might like. And now it's like, everything is out there. Like they know me for me somewhat. And so it's not, that initial step isn't as difficult. Mm. The harder part is kind of like that middle phase of when you do start seeing someone and it's like, okay, how do we handle this? Like, is it public? Do you like incorporate it into your content? Do you, you know, because it's
dangerous game.
It's a difficult thing to navigate. Mm-hmm. And I know like a bunch of people deal with it differently. Me personally, I've been through two pretty serious relationships and two pretty big breakups, and nobody's ever known. Mm-hmm. And I feel like during the relationship, that part is hard, but then after it, you're kind of like thankful that you don't have to like go through that, you know, public breakup thing.
Is during hard of like the women you're dating are basically like, hey, I'm not on your page. You look single, like hard like that.
Sure. Yeah, but
which is reasonable.
It's reasonable.
But it's a hard game of you have legit followers.
Sure.
So it actually, I don't know if you know who Michael Che is.
Yeah.
But I talked to him about this and he was like, if I post a picture of a girl I'm dating, I might as well propose.
Sure.
Because he's like, no matter what I do, gets picked up by press, well, this and that. And I get it and I agree with him.
Right.
But it's like, especially we've talked about this on the pod, when a guy has like 1,000 followers. And he tries to be like, nah, you know, my page is all about this. You're looking at him like, really?
Yeah, come on.
Yeah. You Nobody can't cares. Post me to the 1,000 followers?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's like, got some side pieces.
Yeah, exactly. Pieces. So I do sympathize with you on that.
Yeah. How I go about it is I have my close friends list, right?
Mm, okay.
And I happily post them to the club because I do want to share that part of my life with people I know.
Right.
You know, with people that actually matter and care. And aren't gonna unfollow me because I get that comment quite a bit.
Yeah,
you know, oh, the day this guy posts his girlfriend, I'm out.
And
I'm
but like, it okay. happens to women too, though.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure.
So many women I know. So. They're like, I posted a picture of my boyfriend, lost 400 followers,
gone.
And it's like, yeah, those dudes were just waiting.
Yeah,
to try to shoot their shot.
Yeah, I'm like, my thing is like with guys like that. I'm like, did you really think you had a chance? Like, did you really think? when Rihanna got pregnant with ASAP's baby, it's like, damn. It's like, really? Come on.
Yeah, like the only person we believed was Drake.
I was one of those guys.
Unfollow Rihanna.
Like my heart sank a little and I was like, what the fuck am I thinking?
Oh,
like,
man. I mean, they're not married yet.
You know?
Still open. I totally get it, though. Or a lot of people I've found now a trend is like, if they have a good amount of followers, they start another Instagram account that's personal. And instead of doing the close friends, it's like they literally only accept friend requests from people
it's
they
private,
actually know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like 100,000 compared to like 400.
Exactly.
Type of thing. But I get it. It's the world we live in.
Yeah.
Because if I was to say to you, some girl emailed in, was like, I've been dating this guy 7 months. He has never posted me one lick on his Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Would you be like, that's shady?
Wait, what is?
Like dating like 6 months. And the girl just goes, this guy has never posted me anywhere. No story, no nothing.
Yeah, that's shady.
Right?
Yeah.
Because it's weird, but it is a part of life of like, I call it virtual displays of affection.
Yeah.
Of it's like the new thing for someone's birthday is posting happy birthday to them.
Sure.
And a nice note online.
Yeah.
And it's almost like, oh, if someone doesn't do that, it's almost a relationship deal breaker to a lot of people.
Before all of this, I was in a relationship for 3 years, and she was all over my Instagram just because I was like proud. I was like happy. She was like a obviously like the biggest part of my life.
And you were a normal person.
And I wasn't
content creator.
Right. I was it just felt natural and right. I wasn't doing it to say, hey, I'm taken. I was doing it to say, hey, this is somebody I love. This is like, you know, this is my best friend. It's really shady. And it also does provide the person with a little bit of safety, a little bit of comfort.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing. It always goes back to private versus secret. If you prefer to be private, you can do that without keeping someone a secret.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I have to ask this question because people submitted it.
Sure.
I'm not into astrology.
Okay.
But people want to know, what's your sign?
I'm also not into astrology. I'm really sorry.
That's okay.
I'm also not into astrology, but I am a Libra. And that's the only sign I really know about because people tell me, that makes sense. That makes sense. I'm like, does it?
Whoever submitted was guessing Gemini.
See, that I wouldn't even know. I wouldn't even know why.
Mm-hmm.
But the only thing I know about Libras is that apparently they are balanced and they seek balance. And that does ring true, but I think 99% of people seek balance. it's pretty key to like a happy life.
I'm a stubborn Taurus. It's like a lot of people are stubborn.
Yeah.
And then also we value loyalty. It's like, well, who doesn't?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, loyalty.
Who doesn't? Okay. So I'm curious. We often go over different like relationship advice on the pod. Are there any dating rules that you try to follow?
No.
No.
I used to. But I think as I've, you know, dated more and I've gotten older, every situation is different. My rule is just go by what you're feeling and trust that until you reach the next step. I don't think there shouldn't be like time limits on anything. Like you should, you know, have any set sort of rules because it kind of inhibits like the natural growth of a relationship, I think.
I think it makes it manipulative.
The
a
rules.
Lot of the rules that are out there.
Yeah.
Make it like you're making the other person get into their head.
Sure.
And you're a lot of times purposely holding back.
Sure.
And it comes from, you don't want to scare them, but it also comes from like make them work.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm going to pull back my energy so they crave it more. And I'm like, that's very manipulative.
To me, rules are very, I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
Rules are very like indicative of games being played, you know, specific types of rules where it's like, for example, if it's like, I don't really tell more about myself until like this date or whatever, or I don't do this until this. It's like, okay, well now you're setting a checkpoint for someone.
Yeah.
And now you're kind of setting them up to like act a certain way until they reach that checkpoint.
Or you set them up to fail.
Or you set them up to fail.
And they don't even know.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I think it's very, I think rules are kind of outdated and you should kind of just naturally let it progress how it's going to.
Spoken like a true man. That's a true guy. They're like, we don't have any timelines. There's no pressure on our clocks or anything. Can I ask, what was a rule that you used to try to follow that you don't agree with? Was it like the classic, we go out, don't contact her for like 2 days situation?
I think a lot of people say that first dates should be light, should be getting to know like the basics about each other.
So you meant light out.
Yeah. Are like
daytime.
I've seen like, you know, like grab a drink, grab dinner, learn the basics about each other. That's it. You know, I go to like the complete opposite way. Yeah. I like to dive in like first date and just sort of break down all those barriers at the beginning, because then it's easier to have those like get to know you conversations later, because you feel like you can be like a little bit more honest, you can be a little more open, you can be a little bit more vulnerable. Because I can have a get to know you conversation with anybody on the street.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it doesn't tell me really anything about you going into like a second date.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes. But now my question is, what is your usual first date plan? Or is this just the questions you ask are deeper?
So usually I like one on first date, I never do dinner.
Ever. Yeah. I was going to say most people don't.
Never do dinner. And never do anything too like formal at all.
Okay.
It's usually very lighthearted and has an open end, right? Mm-hmm. So it could keep going if you'd like it to, or whatever. The I'll give you the example. The best first date I went on.
Okay.
We decided to go to an arcade.
Oh, I've done that before.
So we go
arcade action or something.
We went to the arcade. We got a couple drinks. We started talking, and then I don't like fully recommend this, but we did some mushrooms, and it was just like immediately walls came down.
Right? Oh, I can imagine.
Immediately walls came down, and it was the most fun, and the most wholesome. And we were at the arcade for 6 hours because on our like mushroom brain.
Uh huh.
We were buying, we were trying to buy 300 credits on like the game card, but we spent $300 instead.
Oh.
So we were like, I guess we're here for the rest of the night.
My God. You know?
But it just like opened up this conversation in this time that was so like natural and easy. And it kind of just cut off any like nerves that either of us had.
Mm.
And it was like perfect.
Well, two things. You know what you indirectly did? There's this stat, and I think it's like people are 60% more likely to open them up more if they're doing a type of activity.
Okay.
And something with their hands.
Interesting.
So you indirectly do that with an arcade date or a date that's an activity, like mini golf or whatever.
Yeah.
Because you're actually focusing on one thing while talking. So it almost makes it like it's very hard to have a wall up.
Exactly.
And like therapists use that trick with children. They'll have them play with blocks and like ask them questions.
Oh, interesting.
Two, I'm not surprised you set an activity date, because when I was researching you, I found that originally you moved to New York for like set design and building things.
Yeah.
So that also makes sense of just your own interests of you like using your hands and building stuff.
Yeah.
And that's where you feel more comfortable.
Yeah. Mm. It was kind of the perfect setup. Because there was an element of fun. There's an element of competition, which I think is naturally fun for people.
Mm-hmm.
It creates this natural ability to have like banter, and it's just like a good setup. So I highly recommend doing something that's maybe out of your comfort zone or unique, or like something that you can both sort of go through together.
Okay, can I ask this though?
Yeah.
As a former athlete, very hard for me to play games and not be competitive. So you seem like a not competitive person. Turn on or turn off if the girl is very competitive at whatever game.
Turn on.
On.
Yeah.
Okay, I've lost a date to homecoming because of this.
Oh. And he
many
wasn't
years
ready.
Ago.
He wasn't
many
ready.
Years. Yeah, he wasn't ready for me. But it was just it's very hard to turn it off for me. And even the dumbest little game, I'm like gonna be competitive about it.
I think it's so much fun. I think it's like it's the most boring thing to me is playing a game with someone who doesn't care what the outcome is.
Right.
I'm like, why are we doing this?
Thank you. That's why we're keeping score.
Yeah.
There's a point to this.
Yeah. And no one should let anybody win. Mm. It's a competition. It's a game.
Yeah.
You know, who wins, wins. You know. But yeah, turn on for sure.
Turn on.
For
sure. Okay. Because I have a hard rule of if I'm really dating someone and we're playing a game in a group setting and there's teams, they have to be on my team.
Gotcha.
I don't want it to get ugly if we're on opposite teams. And then like I have to go home with that person. And one of us is either just mad because we lost or we're mad at like the shit talking from the other person. Because it is like we're a relationship and we should be a team. And like you ever go to like a couples thing and they're like, let's do men versus women. I'm like, let's not.
Let's maybe not.
Because I would like to stay with my man. I like him. But I'm going to hate him when he's on the other team.
The thing is, shit talking can be the best.
I know.
Shit talking is like the best kind of flirting. It's like if you can't roast each other. It's not.
I mean, tell Matt Adams, you know? Okay? Because he didn't take me to the dance.
Matt Adams. Fucked up.
You fucked up, Matt.
Loser.
Up. Yeah. He took a girl that didn't speak English over me. So you know what, Matt? He took the exchange student. He's like, this girl won't shit talk me. She doesn't even know what's going on.
He took the exchange student and they played Scrabble and he was like, I'm not going to lose this. Yeah. He's like, you gotta play Words with Friends? And she was like, huh?
He got to win all night. He got to win the whole time. Okay, so you touched on this a little bit. You've had a few, I guess, big breakups. But what would you say was your worst heartbreak?
Probably my longest relationship, which was probably a little over a year ago it ended. We were together for 3 years. And I think what the worst part about it was you just coming out of something where you invest so much time.
Oh, yeah.
And so much of yourself. And you get to a point where you're planning with that person.
Mm-hmm.
And what was really heartbreaking for me after was realizing how much I changed myself within that relationship.
That's eye-opening.
And when I came out of it, I was like, oh, what was I doing? Like, there's positive change within relationships, but then there's mm-hmm. also trying to fit yourself to a puzzle you probably weren't meant for in the first place.
Yeah.
And that's what was heartbreaking to me was I feel like I lost so many parts of myself that were kind of hard to get back after a while. So you kind of have to like relearn yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But like the clarity after that ended where I was like, oh fuck, like mm-hmm. okay, I'm never doing that again,
right?
You know, I'm never sacrificing parts of myself, things that are important to me, to make it work with someone. You know, they should accept
it's
those
equal. Yeah,
you
know? Yeah. Well, I was gonna say, did you feel like you were changing more towards the end of the relationship?
I think I started changing more when I felt it slipping.
Yes. Yeah, it's always when it happens.
So mm-hmm. it's you always get this, you know, burst of wanting to fix things when you feel them slipping. And I knew she wasn't going to do that. So I knew it was up to me. And I was like, if I can do this, if I can become this person, maybe this will work.
Yeah.
But that's like a temporary fix, you know, because mm-hmm. at some point you're going to go back to you know who you are, you know. So that one I've heartbreaking in the sense that I feel like I lost a lot but also learned a lot. I mean, that's the thing with relationships is like you have to be able to learn how to come out of the other end and be like, this is what I liked, this is what I didn't like, this is what I did wrong. And this is where I can do better the next time around.
Mm-hmm.
So in that sense, it was great because I had 3 years of experience and like 3 years of arguments, 3 years of good times to be like, this is what I like, this is what I don't like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just hard though in general when you're like, you're used to just being a we And it's even the simplest shit of just anytime something happens, that's the first person you tell.
Yeah.
It's like relearning that pattern. And okay, now who's my go-to person I just text?
Yeah.
And then it's also on the grand scheme of you're like, okay, I was making moves in my life for the we.
Yeah.
And now I'm back to just me.
Yep.
And do I want to do those moves still? Do I want to pivot? Especially 3 years. I don't know if you guys were living together, but that's always like the biggest one.
Yeah.
If you are.
Luckily, we weren't.
That is lucky.
The last year of our relationship was long distance, which I will never do again. That's one thing I learned. It's really difficult.
Wait, the 3 years was the whole time?
Sorry. No, the last year.
Okay. All right.
The last year was long distance. And then, that's the thing is, over that amount of time, that person touches every single part of your life.
Yes.
So it's not like you have like a little box of things you can throw away.
Yeah.
It's like now your favorite TV shows, now this movie that you really mm-hmm. like, now this piece of clothing that you always gave them to sleep in when they stayed over. It's like all of these things that are just tied to you.
Yeah.
That you're like, damn, I either have to get rid of him or I have to like, you know,
right.
rethink what they mean to me.
Oh yeah. That's also why people rebound quickly. Is they have all those ties, and then it's like, okay, well, I'll just replace those ties from that person with this new person. And it almost makes them just get over it quicker and just relearn those habits with someone new.
Yeah.
So like to really have a breakup and be like, I'm going to stay single for a while is harder.
Oh, yeah.
But better in the long run, for sure. Okay, I was going to say, what are your relationship deal breakers? Specifically from that relationship. No. What did she do
did
that
she
you would
do?
Never do again?
Let's see. Deal breakers. I don't have a ton. I go into everything pretty open-minded now. One thing I've realized that I can't deal with is trust issues from the beginning. Is like, because I'm someone... you by default you have my trust and it has to be broken for you to lose it. Some people go into relationships where you have to earn their trust, and I work the opposite way because I'm like, you've never done anything to me to for me to feel like I can't trust you. So that's one thing. And then I think that pairs with jealousy. I don't really deal with jealousy well. Just because I'm not a very jealous person. Like if you say you like me and you say you're with me, I believe it. Like that's it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I fully and wholeheartedly believe that person. I can't control what happens outside of our relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't control other guys. I can't control other girls, you know, but you, I trust in that, and I'm not going to get jealous of outside things. So jealousy is hard for me to swallow.
So you're a more monogamous person, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, no shame to the game.
No, let me tell you, I wish. I look at open relationships and I look at more, you know, I'll say experimental relationships.
Yeah.
I'm like, damn, that'd probably be cool. I've thought about it. But then I'm like, yeah, I don't think I could. I don't know, something about sharing, you know, certain things with one person is nice.
Yes.
You know.
Oh yeah, so, I fully agree. Or like most of us were like, I mean, I'd be open, like I could go do it.
Yeah,
I want,
that's the thing.
And it's they like, don't go anywhere.
And that's why I always say this. I was like, I feel like every single person,
yeah,
would be okay with an open relationship if they could just get past like the other person doing it.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, 1,000%.
And it's so funny how we can like hold two very opposing thoughts in our head.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like I could do it without any strings, without any attachment.
Mm-hmm.
But to be able to get over that on the other side, you know, bravo to them.
Or believe it when they say it.
Or believe it, yeah.
Yeah, that's always the hard part.
Question for you.
Okay.
If you were in an open relationship, would you want to know when they hooked up with someone else and who they hooked up with?
Well, my number one rule if I did an open thing would be nobody that lives where we live. So I feel like the only way I would be in an open relationship would be like, because I travel a good amount for comedy. So it's like if me and my other person both traveled a lot, it makes more sense to me of being like, it's natural to be lonely.
Sure.
And want to fill those lonely times with somebody else and have it open that sense. But like, so say I dated someone that traveled a lot for work and the deal was like, if they're in a different place and they can just hook up with someone, I would be like, fine. And I probably wouldn't want to know how much and who. But my big thing would be like, they better not live in the New York State area.
Sure.
Like never anybody we both know. Absolutely not. Mm. And I would even be like, yeah, no one that lives here. Because the idea would be like, when we're here, this is our place.
Yeah. Like, and it's also, it's like, you're available.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. That's the idea.
If you're both in town, you know?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Like people that do open shit in New York City and it's all around New York City, I'm like, oh, you think this is a big city? Yeah. It's not.
No.
It's not.
Not at all.
I have run into many of people on the street.
Yeah. No.
And it freaks me out when I do. Because I'm like, you're not supposed to run into anybody here. I don't think I could ever do it, but mine would for sure be like, yeah, I don't think I would want to know.
Yeah.
Because my big thing would be like, it shouldn't be anyone I know.
Yeah.
So that'd be mine. But my hardest thing to trust open relationships is I never forget the first time I go to hook up with someone. First of all, how adamant they are about using condoms, but also if they're able to say hard using condoms.
Interesting.
Because I've had many a men that you basically get the guy that's fresh out of a relationship. It's like impossible for him to use them and keep an erection. And that is burned in my brain of like, so if we're having sex with no condoms consistently, I'm supposed to believe when you go off on your own, you will wear one and keep it on with someone else. Because I'll remember the first time with me, if you kind of were like, well, are you on the pill? And I'm sitting there like, yeah, but that's not the point.
Oh,
like, that's always burned in my brain. And I feel like it's rare to find a guy that like condom is no problem.
Yeah.
Especially when they're fresh off being with someone without them.
Yeah.
So that's the part that it's just hard for me to be on board with.
Sure.
And it's not even me being like, men are disgusting pigs. I'm just like, I get it.
Yeah.
And if it suddenly the sensation's way lower, it's almost like.
I never thought about that. That's a good point.
I don't know. What about you? If you were an open thing, would you want to know with who, when?
Nothing. Don't tell me anything.
Nothing. Would you have any rules of like.
Yeah. Have to be protected.
What about like in the same area?
What do you mean?
Like say you were in an open thing and you found out a girl just hooked up with someone else that lives in your neighborhood. Would you be like, that's way too close to my vicinity?
Yeah, yeah, I don't want anybody that I can run into or anybody like, you know. But then again, if I don't want to know who it is, I guess it really doesn't matter.
I guess not.
I also think, I've heard this rule before, never the same person twice.
Oh, see, this is different levels of open.
Yeah.
I feel like we're talking open, like you can go fuck someone and that's it.
Yeah.
But there's the levels of open that there are full other relationships. And that's the version I could never, ever, ever do. Because it's like, okay, I understand people going, you ever love two people at the same time? I'm like, personally, no, but I can get that. Hmm. But like, if you have three girlfriends and I'm one of them and our shit starts to get hard and hits a bump and whatever, the whole time I'm just sitting there like, yeah, why wouldn't you just dump me? You got two other girls you don't have a problem with.
No,
I'm the one that's the problem.
Yeah, never the multi-relationship thing.
Yeah.
Never that.
It's like,
As far as just being open and hooking up, I think a good rule is you don't hook up with the same person like multiple times.
That's an interesting rule.
Because then feelings can start to develop, you know?
I mean, even one time it could.
Yeah.
But sticking to the one time, I get it. That's hard though, because most women want to fuck twice because it's like you got to learn the first time. That's what's hard.
Yeah.
You know? All right. Let's move on to we have a little segment we do on the pod called Man's Opinion.
Okay.
All right. When we have a straight guy on the show, women send in questions that date men. They want to know man's opinion on these subjects.
God, straight men don't get their opinions heard often.
They don't.
Enough,
this is the only podcast that wants this opinion sometimes. Sometimes. Not always, but sometimes. Okay. So. These are questions submitted by the fans here. All right. First one. Do men compare their new girl's body to their ex's body?
No.
No.
Speaking from experience, everyone is different. And I think that most guys enjoy different. Like, it's like, I don't think there's, unless they're like, still in love with the ex, and so unless they still have feelings for the ex, I don't think your mind is really going anywhere else. I've never done that.
So it's like, if you want to be with someone new, whether it's just sex or dating, you're like, they're hot, I'm into them. You're not at all like, oh, they're not as hot as my ex. That doesn't even cross your mind.
No.
Myself and a friend just went through this, because women do this.
Oh, they always want to upgrade?
So my friend started going out with someone new, and his ex is a professional dancer. So she's got a sick body. And she was like, I mean, but like, I'm not as hot as her. And I said to her, I was like, men don't do this. And then I was like, well, let me ask the question on the pod, but I'm 90% sure.
No.
They don't.
No.
It's just like, if they think you're hot, they think you're hot.
I think most men are just happy to be there.
Yeah. You know? Right. But it is so hard when you date someone and then you see what their ex looks like. Ooh,
I've been there.
Inferior.
I've been there. I'm like, he's how tall?
Yeah, men do it with height more, I'd say.
Yeah, I'm like, he can grow a full beard?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, cool.
Probably
cool,
height and money, actually. I'm like, the two.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, he worked in finance?
He owns money doesn't bother me. Money doesn't bother me.
I'm saying a lot of dudes, that's usually where they compare.
Yeah.
There's this like, oh, they're more successful thing.
Yeah. Mm. But, yeah, I think guys do that to an extent with looking at the exes and being like, you know, but
I think you nailed it. Of men usually like new.
Yeah.
Like I have a friend who his dream is to date a hairdresser because they change their hair a lot.
Oh,
and it would feel like a new woman.
Oh. Interesting.
Not wrong, you know. I was like, valid point. Okay. All right. Here's a question that's specifically sent in for you. How much do men typically judge someone's apartment?
Oh, this is specifically for me. I used to.
Mm. In terms of style or like cleanliness or both?
That's the thing. Style doesn't matter. Style. Yeah. I like when people's homes feel comfortable to them, you know? So that can be, it's your living space, mm-hmm. you know, it's however, it doesn't need to be anything. Cleanliness though, I look at, because I think
that's
it's,
fair.
I think it's sort of a reflection of how you see yourself, you know, you want to, you know, keep a clean space. Not, I mean, it can be disorder, like organization, whatever, but like dirty is kind of where I have questions.
Yeah. You know? But it's funny if I've had the times of I'd maybe want to invite a guy back to my apartment and my brain is like, you got clothes everywhere from putting my outfit together for the date.
Gotcha.
And I've brought someone home before and been like, you just need to stand outside for 1 minute.
Oh, I do that all the time. Yeah. I go, hey, just sit there. I'm going to just clean up real quick. And that, because I just can't, like, I can't have anybody over if I have a mess. The thing is, it's like, for me, that if we're talking about style, if we're talking about design of the apartment, it could elevate the amount that I'm attracted to, but it's not going to take away.
Right.
So,
yeah.
So yeah, I look at it, but it's not like a deal breaker by any means. No. Mm-hmm.
So it's not even weird if I, excuse me, make them stand outside.
No.
Clean up. Cause I just moved and I was seeing someone and I was like, I have stuff kind of disheveled everywhere. I still have some boxes, but I was like, just give me a minute to clean some stuff up.
I do.
And they're very like, we don't care. I'm like,
but you care, right?
I care. That's the thing. I was like, you don't need to see how I live sometimes, you know? Okay. How about this? If you meet someone you're interested in, how long does it take you to ask them out?
Oof. Maybe 2 to 3 years. I'm just kidding. No. I'm really bad at it. I think that I don't know how. Rejection is very like scary, I guess, and so I usually wait until I'm like 95% sure that they're at least somewhat interested.
Really?
Yeah, it's really bad.
That is bad.
It's really bad. It's like a terrible dating habit that I have.
And how do you do that? Is that the quote just talking? Like chat them up?
Yeah.
Like, what's like the system? It's like
you go through like platonically talking, and then one day you're like throw in like a little flirt or a little, and then you kind of like gauge how they respond to that. And then as that builds, you're like, okay, this is consistently flirty. Like it feels like they're probably interested. And then it's like, hey, do you wanna go to an arcade?
Oh my god, I would not. I'd be so frustrated.
I know.
If you were just chatting me.
And that's the thing is like, I get that so much. They're like, why did it take you so long?
I can't believe they don't at some point go, do you wanna get a drink sometime? Because I was just gonna ask you, what percent of the time when you're doing this check,
yeah,
do they just bite the bullet and go, you want to hang out sometime or something?
Quite a bit.
I'd say 90%. Yeah. Yeah. You're like, I'm just around. I just got to be around. And then they'll throw it out there. I do that. I mean, I when on dating apps, guys do that. It drives me crazy. I'm like, it's a dating app.
Yeah.
We are here to meet people.
Yeah.
I don't want to chat all day.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, oh, that's some 27-year-old shit. I don't have patience for that. I'm 31. okay, so then here's a fun question. Should women wait for the man to text them first?
Like after like a first date or?
Let's go after a first date. Let's do that scenario.
No.
No. What about in general of they're interested in a guy?
I think anybody, whenever they want to say something, should say something.
They have something to say.
It goes back to the rules thing. It goes back to like this, you know, game of like chase or no chase.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing that I don't do games at all. It's like if you want to talk, if the thing is, if I haven't reached out, it's either because it's mostly because I haven't had time or I just haven't done it yet, you know. But it's not gonna make me feel any way if you do it first.
Okay.
You know, I understand that it's probably nice to receive the first message.
Right.
But if you want to talk, let's talk. Like let's, you know.
Okay.
I don't think there should be any psychology behind it.
Okay. All right. So how should women shoot their shot with a man?
Directly. Yeah. Because
so not what you do.
Yeah. Because I feel like most men are kind of morons like me where it takes me a lot to know if someone is flirting or if they're just being nice or what. It's like I am never one to assume what someone feels about me or if they're, you know, into me like that. So I always appreciate a direct approach.
We should get a drink sometime, something like that.
But even more so than that.
Even
it's like,
more?
It's like sometimes I'm like, well, because sometimes someone can ask to get a drink and they just want to hang out as friends. You know?
No. No one's doing that. What?
You sound like all of my friends.
So a girl you don't know at all, it's like, let's get a drink sometime.
Sure.
She's not networking.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Especially like, if you look at her Instagram, she's got a lot of friends. It's like, she don't need more friends.
Oh, that's a good point.
Like, you know?
I get, okay. I needed to hear that.
You were saying something, but I forget what it was. What are some don'ts of shooting your shot? What are some like bad ones you've gotten?
Don't start it off with, I never do this, but it's like, funny. Yeah, you do. I'm not the only one.
You like look through and see how many verified people she follows. Yeah, you're like, oh.
I'm like, you follow 50 guys that are way better looking than I am, that are way funnier than I am. I'm like, unless you got to the one where you're like, maybe he'll like, I'm not the only one.
Own it.
The other thing is don't use like a canned line. Don't use like that. Something that someone, you know, you kind of get repeat DMs.
Mm. Oh, have you ever gotten this one? They send like some type of like sports ball.
Oh.
And they'll be like, oh, whoops, my ball rolled over here. Have you ever had that bullshit?
It's like the dog and it's like, oh, sorry, my dog got out. And it's like,
what?
Yeah.
What are we doing?
Yeah. I'm like, just, come on.
It's also not a conversation starter.
Yeah. It's that's the thing.
I would be like, oh, no problem. Dogs run in my yard all the time.
The amount of times.
Like what?
The amount of times I get high is just like, I'm like, okay.
Like, does that actually make you more nervous to answer? You're like,
no, I just don't. Like, that's the thing is like, I respond to maybe 1% of my messages. And it's, I usually never, ever respond to any ones that are flirtatious.
Interesting.
Just because it kind of like opens a door, you know.
Yeah.
And but you want to know the best one I've ever gotten?
Yes. Ooh, please share.
I got this the other day.
Hold on, I'll pull it up. I want to see it.
And tell me you wouldn't fall out of your chair.
Okay.
And the interesting, this was from a man. All right,
Oh, well, we don't have to give him credit. I just love you. Like, I get mad DMs from women, and then the best one I ever got was from a man.
This one says, my heart, was racing. You're kind of cute, but not that funny. I'd still fuck for sure, but won't follow. Hit me up if you're down.
Are you serious? Wait, that actually, you were like, that's great?
I questioned my sexuality for a second. I was like, on my way, friend. No, obviously not.
Oh my God. Jesus.
I was like, damn. I was like, man, I'm really missing. The charm that is a man.
Yeah, that's what my DMs look like.
That is.
Yeah.
Not to say women can be savage as well.
Oh, for sure.
And that's one thing that I've learned is I was like, y'all are just mm-hmm. as bold, uh-huh. just as bold.
But usually women are worse at taking the rejection.
Oh, yeah. I feel like men are mean when they get rejected.
Both can be. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's when suddenly a man will critique your appearance. And you're like,
you're like, okay. Yeah. You wanted to fuck me 5 seconds ago.
I know. Exactly. That's why, as a woman, the advice I gotten is if I don't want to go out with a guy, just tell him I'm already seeing someone.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what if that's not true? They're like, it doesn't matter. It's the only letdown men take well.
Because it's not rejected.
It's nothing about them.
Nothing about them.
She's already with someone. So if she wasn't with him, she'd probably go out.
Yeah, she'd be all over
me.
Yeah,
she'd be into it.
Yeah.
For sure.
I didn't get rejected.
The part that bothers me most about that message is I'm not going to follow you. I'm like, all right. Yeah. Well, I'm pretty funny.
Okay.
Yeah. You're clearly looking.
God damn it.
Clearly looking. Mm-hmm. All right. Where are we at time-wise total, by the way? 47 minutes. Okay. You got time for two more?
Yeah.
You good? Okay. I'm like, I don't know what you got after this. All right. What are the top three things men value in women?
I'll speak for myself. I think confidence is one. For me, confidence has become huge because it's someone who's just comfortable in themselves is really nice. I think independence as well. That's personally big for me. I one of my big tests in a relationship is if we go to a party together, can we both go our separate ways? Have our evening, check in with each other, give each other that look when we want to leave. You go, let's go, let's go. And you go.
Yeah.
You
know, no babysitting.
Right.
That's women do that at weddings.
Yeah. Okay.
That's usually our test is the wedding hang of are you a good plus one?
Yeah.
You're not cranky. I'm not hanging out with you the whole time.
It's really hot. It's really attractive to do mm-hmm. that. And especially if it's, I remember I went on a date with someone and she was meeting my friends for the first time. And even in that situation, she just made friends with my friends.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's nice.
It's the people, I have friends like that. There's some friends I go, I could bring them anywhere.
Yeah.
And I'm not worried about them.
Exactly.
And then there's other friends I'm like, you are for specific events and activities.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
No disrespect,
it's huge.
Yeah.
And I think the last thing is, and this one's maybe a little less obvious. For me is I think men really crave to be with someone who allows them to be vulnerable and allows them to be soft in a way. Mm. And they kind of do that by putting that forward first, I think, and allowing, those walls to kind of break down because it creates such a sense of comfort and the openness to just really be every single part of yourself.
You're saying the woman needs to be the nurturing soft first, when they're comfortable enough to be that way around you, and you can mirror it
in a way that opens you up to be that way
100%.
As well. You know, it takes both people being vulnerable to really let every wall down. But for me in the past, it's taken that first step to be okay, we can start moving in this direction.
Funny, that is the number one thing when relationships end for me or even people I'm dating. that I get mad about where I'm like, I got soft on that dude. Oh. Like, that's the thing that hurts me to my core, because I'm like, oh, I don't get soft with anybody.
Sure.
Like, a lot of people.
It's hard.
Yeah. Not even like crying, just pure, like, exactly what you're saying of that, like, cozied on the couch, like, just giving kisses randomly. I'm like, who's that? That's not me.
Like, let me little spoon for a second.
Yeah,
like,
there's literally, you know? Yeah. That's what, like, I'm like, oh, he saw me get soft. And that's the part that I get mad. Where it doesn't work out. I'm like, I got soft on that dude. Yeah. I'm like, he got me.
Yeah.
Got me. Got the walls down. Okay, so in theme with the show, we always ask every guest, have they ever shot a shot? And was it a hit or a miss? If you have any stories that stick out to you.
In terms, like, just like hitting on someone?
Yeah, like hitting on someone, making a move, asking someone out. Like, for example, it doesn't have to be this bold, but okay. I, in middle school, once wrote a song for a guy.
Oh, wow.
I liked. Oh, terrible idea. Horrible idea.
Yeah, 100%.
And I wrote it, and he had a songwriting notebook, so I wrote my song in his notebook. Yep, yep, I thought it'd be great. I was like, he'll find it, like, when he's just, you know, pages later. And then upon, like, going to the bus one day after school, there was a group of guys laughing. And, you know, when you get that core feeling, you're just like, oh no, oh, that's about me. I was just like, I remember I was walking by, they're like, Eric. I was like, hey guys, and I just like ran on the bus.
They start singing the song to you,
basically. Yeah, I was like,
oh my god.
It was a copy of Avril Lavigne's Skater Boy, like, for the cadence of the song, but my own words. Terrible idea. Worst idea I've ever had in my life. I thought it was so romantic. I thought it was brilliant, and I was like, never again. So it doesn't have to be that bold, but
I don't think I've ever done anything that bold.
Nothing crazy.
Let me think here.
Will you propose with a TikTok video?
Yes. Yeah. Duet this. Duet this if she should say yes. You know? What's the? I guess going back to like middle school. The ultimate flirt was poking someone on Facebook. And so I got countlessly rejected on pokes. One time I saw this meme. It was like when memes were new. They weren't even memes yet. They were just like, tag somebody. It was like, tag the most beautiful girl you know. And I remember tagging like one of my sister's friends. And my sister's like 5-6 years older than me.
Oh, bold move.
And I was like, this is how I tell her. because we're Facebook friends. And never got a like, got a reply back,
How many times did you check that comment?
Oh, every single time.
Yeah, every 5 minutes, like, did they see it?
My heart's racing. My heart's racing. You know, the next time I see her is like, bow my head in shame.
Yeah.
So maybe that was like my first real rejection.
Okay, how about this? One more question.
Okay.
What would you say is the most romantic thing you've ever done for somebody?
Oh.
Slash, what is your move?
Oh, I see. I think this was like the most heartfelt thing I did. And I considered it romantic at the time. I dated this girl for a long time, and she was away at college, and her family was moving out of their childhood home that she loved. Like, she had grown up there.
Yeah.
You know,
very emotional.
And she was, you know, upset about it in a way. And so I used my like theater making skills, you know, and I built like a mini version of the house for her to have, and got it like boxed and framed. Stop. For her.
No.
And then it sat in the corner in the box of her room for a really long time.
Oh my god. And you can really build. Is this like an accurate dollhouse, basically?
Yeah, it was almost like a dimensional painting of it. So it was like,
so the
it
outside.
Was like, it was like built up. Yeah. And I spent so much time on this thing, and I've never been so excited to like give something to someone.
Oh my god.
And
my heart is like breaking.
It never came out of that box. It was, and every time I went over to her apartment, I would like sort of check. And yeah, it was heartbreaking.
And like, how did she react when you gave it to her though?
She was like, oh, it's really nice. And I was like,
oh. I was like, this just crushes me.
You know, I thought it was a nice thing to do. But some people receive things differently.
I know. That's we just talked about this with Giannis on the show. It was like with gift receiving from your partner, there's this thing a lot of times men actually forget what they bought you.
Yeah.
But it's like you have to act super excited, especially when it's something thoughtful.
Yeah.
That like they really thought they nailed it.
Yeah.
Like that's something you're like, girl, you can't return this. This wasn't bought somewhere.
Yeah.
So it's not like you can go, oh, actually, can I have it in the blue though? Like it's like that's something you just have to be like, oh my gosh, that's so sweet. Da, da, da.
Yeah.
Or like at least take it out of the box when you're coming over.
Oh, I know.
Play that game.
I've done that so many times.
I've played that game so many times with relatives. I hate this shirt. I never wear this shirt. I'm going to grandma's house. I put the shirt on.
That's exactly
it. Makes grandma happy.
I do that. I have so many shirts that I hate that I know I'm going home and I'm like, I'm going to put this on. Or like a little trinket someone bought. Oh, I'm going to put it on the shelf. You know?
Yeah.
I can sacrifice to like make someone feel good about what they
because especially like first like five times you came back over, you're looking for that box.
I'm just like, oh, man, I can still see it in my head.
Oh, crushes me.
It's
oh my
good.
Gosh. Well, good thing you're not with her anymore. Anyway, thank you so much for coming on. I'm sure the fans would love to have you back sometime. Everybody, if you're not already following Andrew, it's at LICOUT on TikTok and on Instagram _LICOUT on Instagram. And you can follow us at Shooters Gotta Shoot Pod. And you can follow myself at Sparica with two A's. And stay tuned for a Patreon preview coming up next. But thank you so much for coming on, Andrew.
Of course.
This was wonderful. And we'll see you all next week. Bye. You're never going to move on to anybody else if you're chilling with your ex. And you might be like, Erica, it sounds like you are kind of bitter and petty. Oh, I am in a petty mood, okay? I'm in a petty mood, all right? Just having a petty week, okay? My petty week actually started with, the guest we had last week, Giannis Pappas. Truly, I do love Giannis, and I wanted to have him in the pod either way. However, Eggs Benedict, my ex, was a huge fan of him and Chris DiStefano and their podcast, History Hyenas, right? But huge, huge fan of just both those guys. Now my ex is blocked, right? So I was like, the thing is, if I share shit on Instagram and Giannis reshares it on his Instagram story or wherever, my ex won't see it because it's my post and I blocked him. So I might have unblocked my ex for 24 hours to be like, I just want you to see that I had your hero on the show. I just kind of, you know, just like, oh, look at that. I had your hero on. Oh, how funny. And then just blocked him again. Cause I was like, say something. You won't. I got this Patreon. This is like, the Patreon is like if I had a gun for men, honestly. It's the most powerful I've ever been. I'm just like, oh yeah, no, go ahead and say something. Go ahead and do something. I'll just tell my little gang of people over here and we'll talk shit and I'll make the title something that you'll see on my Instagram that makes you fucking nervous. If you want to hear the rest of this episode, join our Patreon, which is patreon.com/shootersgottashoot. You'll get over 100 extra episodes, all the behind the scenes. You'll get in on the chat of everyone discussing everything. It's some hot shit over there, okay? So just join. It's $5 a month. It's like if you bought me a coffee every month. And we appreciate the support of the show. Helps us pay our studio now that we're doing video, all right? So patreon.com/shootersgottashoot. Hope to see you there.